listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is your host with the most, Nikki Kalula. I'm doing a special interview from my car, not because I'm living in my car, but because I just finished a really cool music session today. So I'm breaking for our special Wake Up Hollywood edition from my car with special guests Sam Garfield and Nicholas. How are you, Nick? How are you, Sam?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you for having us.
Of course. You guys just are about to open a music venue called Black Rose LA, right?
Well, we actually just did open one in March on the 16th. So we're just under 3 months into our first couple months now.
Well, tell me, you guys have all this crazy experience in art and music. Tell me what made you both inspired to start a music venue. We're going to go more into your background in a bit. But that's the first question I had to ask, because you know what I love and respect is it's such a crazy time and a vibrant time, too, to open a music venue with everything that happened with the pandemic. But, you know, I love when I see new music venues opening because we all need it. We're musicians. We love music. You're on either side of the coin. Sometimes you're on both. And I love when I see new music venues. Tell me what was the inspiration behind it.
This actually all started when I was living in New York. I was throwing a collective art gallery showcase that I was taking submissions from, and it was just showcasing all artists, especially musicians and painters and photographers and fashion designers and everything like that. And I actually had Sam and his sister come fly to New York and perform at the collective. And that kind of just got me and Sam's brain going. And we're like, I think with like the turnout we had and the feedback we had and just having all the artists in one place together really got both of our brains going and thinking that we can make this like an actual venue, an actual thing that we can be open and live to for all artists in the community. And then we really just started our brains going during like COVID time. And then right after COVID, both of us were like, okay, it's go time.
That's amazing. And how did you come up with the name? And like, how did you find the location? Like, what were all the steps? Because you know what? A lot of people listening, they may be wanting to start a venue or a restaurant or whatever. Like, you know, it's not an easy undertaking. And you know what? To find the location and to know the name or the logo or like how you want it to look. These are all details that are so important. So tell me like kind of what went into the steps.
Well, Nick actually was the first one who came up with this idea. As he said, he did this collective and came to me. I'm a music producer. We've chatted before about that with one of my other artists.
Yes, that's right.
You know, and so I've been doing music now for a while, and he came to me to ask me to do this because a part of our venue has to do with all of the music aspect. We're, you know, working on recording studios and all that as well. We loved the idea. Nick has this kind of affinity for you know, the roses itself, and you know, being the sad emo boy that he is, he actually wanted to call the venue the Dead Rose.
Yep. Okay. That's a little too, your emo is at 11 with that.
I mean, that's kind of a bad omen in my opinion, you know, right. Dead Rose is kind of like setting us off to a bad start before we even start. So you know, both of us really love the whole Black aesthetic, and even you know, that's kind of what it is. One of our other teammates and our operations people who was kind of there from the beginning kind of presented that as an idea, and it just sounded right. And as soon as we got one of Nick's graphic designer friends to start putting some logos together, which is now even the one that we have of the upside down rose, it just felt really right. And he presented it to me, and I was like, that's it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you toned down the emo a little bit. You're like, I don't want it to be so dramatic. We still are running a business.
It is.
Those are hard pills to swallow, though. Those are hard pills to swallow. It's like, so you don't like the name that I've been so excited about for, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I was just throwing out ideas. I wasn't sold to it. And then everyone was like, that's real emo. And I'm like, okay, that's right. Okay. Right.
You're like, you think, okay, we'll tone it back. We'll bring it back to a little bit sense of reality. Now, both of you have extensive backgrounds in music and arts. Kind of talk a little bit about that. Sam, I think you were the one that was, you're a music producer in East LA, and you kind of were on the recording side of things. And Nicholas, you also have been involved in music. Kind of talk a little bit each of your background in music so people can get an idea of like how it all really began for you, because music is like, it's a long journey and it's a beautiful journey, and it kind of gets you into a whole bunch of different environments and backgrounds, and you know, so talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. For me at least, it was, I mean, I've been full-time producing for about 5 years now. I have a lot of artists in artist development, and that's kind of where my passion really lies as a producer. I love finding talent that is undiscovered, emerging artists. I love creating people who have a lot of talent from the ground up. One of the things that I realized as a producer who works a lot on even the management side within the artists I work with, is that a lot of them would finish a project with me and didn't have a place to know where to go next. Like, now I finished this album, now I finished this EP. Right. Where am I putting it up at? Where am I doing this? And they're going to different venues and they're talking to this. And I work with people from the conception stage through completing their project already. And when, you know, I was already thinking for myself, like, what if I could just have this in one place? What if this could all be done in one spot? When Nick presented this idea to me, it just felt very correct, because the idea of having a spot where an artist can come from the conception of what they want to do through finishing their project and then even putting it up on stage to do their album release or do their EP release, it just was so appealing to me. On top of it, we lost so many venues and so many places through the pandemic, which made even the options less here in LA. And so, and there already were very few options in East LA. So when that kind of got presented, and as we started to put the plan together, it just really made a lot of sense. And we really put our heads together and put this idea to make it come to fruition. And we were honestly very blessed, though, and very fortunate to get what we got when we got it. And, you know, the space itself, which is the old Rockwell building in East LA.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, is a place I grew up going to. I mean, I've seen so many great artists there. I saw Ariana Grande there before she was like really Ariana Grande even. That's where I would sneak some of my first drinks when I was like 19, 20 years old. So, you know, it's been, it was very nostalgic. And it really was for me the next step into what I was already doing as a music producer and developing artist, coming into this space and now having so much more now to offer the people that I work with and are coming into even my production company separate from even the venue. So it really was a really good next move.
And Nicholas, what about you? How did you kind of get into music and what made you kind of fall in love with it?
So I actually am a trained dancer. I grew up as a dancer, training in ballet, jazz, hip hop, contemporary, everything like that, which obviously very music driven. And then just always having a passion for, like Sam said, finding new artists, finding artists that are maybe less listened to or undiscovered yet, or finding a new sound or a different sound or anything. It's like, it's always been a part of me, especially with the dance background. You know, you get to listen and actually perform to all different types of music. So that's always been just a huge, huge aspect of my life. I don't necessarily have the experience Sam does with producing or even playing an instrument. I mean, we all took.
Well, I mean, but you know what's cool? What's cool is it's like you both complement each other in what you do, because, and that's a very like important stage for artists too, because we already know that there are the Madison Square Gardens and the big, you know, venues, but like, what's really the most important, and it's so funny because I just heard, you guys know who Gavin DeGraw is?
Of course,
So I opened for Gavin DeGraw maybe five, 6 years ago, but he was on the Today Show today, and he said, you know, he played the bitter end in New York City as his first show in New York, and he said once he got really big, nobody came to that show, but he said once he got really big and he had like a real album release, it was important for him to go back to that venue that gave him his first break. And it's like, that made me just like so happy to hear that he did that, because that's what it's about. It's about finding venues that create vibes, you know, for artists to kind of grow in, and, you know, that kind of relationship with how you develop an artist and how you kind of give artists opportunities to kind of thrive is what it's really all about. It's probably one of the most vibrant stages of an artist's career too, you know? So totally. I love that you're doing that. And Nicholas, where did you dance? Like all over the country, the world? Where did you kind of start your career?
So I grew up in Detroit, Metro Detroit, Michigan area, where I trained at a competitive dance studio. And we competed all over the country. After that, I just continued taking class in like LA and things. And that transformed into me opening a dance photography business, is which I'm why I'm out of this state right now. Actually, I'm at a dance studio.
Oh, that's awesome. So
that also is another thing that helped or started like this whole idea of like bringing all of the types of arts together, like being so close with Sam and his musicians, and then having my dance friends, and then having my photography friends. And like literally all of our friends are an artist of some type. So it really, really was just like, we should do this.
Well, what I love too is like you both come from such different backgrounds, but you're starting a movement. You're a collective, but you're starting a movement. I mean, this is how art, you know, movement starts. You know, it's like it starts with a few people that have gatherings or like common interests, and then you start to see how it affects the world. And then you're doing it in a city that's already a trendsetter. You know, it's like that's what's really cool. Tell me like what it was like to open your club finally after all the headaches of going, because I know there were headaches to get it all up and running. And I'm sure you guys were almost at each other's throats just to get it opened in the first place. What were some of the obstacles you kind of went through to get it opened?
We worked great in opening. It was just it was a lot of like, we would get quotes for things and we'd be like, nobody thinks that like a neon sign is going to cost like $6,000, and then like, get a quote, and then like no one really thinks that like. So we actually learned. I mean, I wouldn't say either of us is like a handyman, but we ended up doing a lot of the rebuilding ourselves with when it came to like painting and taking up floors and putting up drywall. I mean, we had a great team behind us. We had a great interior designer. But yeah, it was more of just like both of us would sit there and be like, wow, LA is expensive. Like,
a floor costs how much?
Right.
Fine, I guess we're renting a paint sprayer and painting it. You know, luckily we painted it all black and we weren't doing any crazy designs, but
right.
I think that was our biggest obstacle was neither of us planned. I mean, like we had a very, very detailed business plan, but even in those prices, I mean, just from research and things, my prices were way off from the quotes we were getting. And we were like I said, you don't think that like, okay, we need this. I didn't even think about that. And then, like I said, signage, like who knew that like that would be like, but during the whole process, Sam and I worked great together. We really balanced each other out, in which, you know, I lack, he definitely has, and vice versa.
Yeah,
definitely.
I'm sure both of you now look at any other music venue or restaurant with more respect just because it, you know, it comes from a place of knowing how to build and create a space and create a vibe within that space, and how, like, all the things that you said, like, people don't really understand exactly what you said, what goes into building a music venue, how expensive it is. And really also, you know, a lot of the big venues, they have huge investors and it's like corporate. And what I love are the mom and pop kind of places where it's got more personality. It's got more vibe because they did it themselves, which sounds like you guys did it yourselves a little too much, you know, because you don't need that $6,000 neon sign. I could just bend this light bulb a little bit. And tell me, like, some of the things that were a little bit more, like satisfying to have accomplished to design the club. Let's say something you never thought you would do, that you actually did it, and then you went, huh, that actually looks pretty good. What was like one of, what were one of those things in the club that, you know, can kind of attribute to when people walk in and they listen to this interview and they hear the detail that went into it or the obstacle that came about it, it becomes like one of the things in the club that becomes iconic?
Well, the club itself is definitely one thing that we were like, did we do that? Right. Did we actually do it? Like, that alone was a feat. For me, it's the stage and the production. Even where we started from right now is way more than what I expected us to start at. And it has been our biggest selling point for all the labels, managers, and artists, and everybody that are coming through the doors now. I mean, I always knew that we have a high standard of the quality of the things that me and Nicholas and Life just both exude. But I did expect a more humble beginning as far as tech and production goes. Right. You know, we're up there at the top with the venues at our size, offering what we offer as far as a stage and production goes for lighting and sound.
Wow.
I would have to agree with that. Again, we got lucky, and Sam and I, both being in the industry for so long, have made some pretty great connections and have kept those great connections and friendships. And, you know, we went from like, you know, are we going to rent speakers for opening night to, you know, bringing in our friend who owns a production company, and he saw the space and he saw the potential, and he was like, you know what, let's blow this thing out. So now we went from like speakers and soundboard to like LED walls and a speaker that could blow out, you know, a 30,000 seat arena. And, you know, the artists have been able to put up their own visuals on the LED wall, and they can do, you know, with whatever with our sound. We have a great sound production and live mixer and all these things that, like, Sam and I, again, didn't think about getting until we were like, if we want to compete with the best of the best, to have the best of the best. And I think for me, the first time we had everything plugged in, everything turned on, and we were playing one of Sam's artist songs, and like the team that like helped us put Black Rose together was all there. We all kind of just went like speechless, and it was like the speaker was going, the lights were going. I mean, it was a crazy feeling. And yeah, that was not just the sign going, the front sign going up.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. The signage in the front, and we, you know, Nick really did a great job getting somebody on board to do the front signage for even our entryway of where it is, where it used to be the Rockwell up there. And it was really cool to go out there the first night that we had it lit up and be out there and see our space with our signage and it all happening. And that was a really cool feeling for sure.
That's awesome. Those are both, you know, such cool things to have in a club too, because you want a great sound system. That's what a lot of clubs don't have. And also you want a big sign that's cool looking, you know what I mean? It's like, that is the first impression, you know. It's kind of like the door to a house. It's like, that's your first impression of the club. But at the end of the day, it's like how everything is, you know, that is what makes and breaks clubs to me. It's like, I've performed in small venues and big venues, and you can tell when somebody cuts corners in the wrong places. It's okay to cut corners in some places, but when you do it in the right way and you provide artists a real playground to kind of like create a vibe, then it's like you end up with these epic shows and you end up with these, you know, incredible performances that make people, the spectators, want to come back, and it makes the artists want to come back too. For any artists that are listening, What are the types of music that you guys are looking to book? Is it eclectic? Is there a certain sound you want to focus on? Is it wide open? Tell me a little bit about what you guys are looking for that you want to see at the club.
Pretty much everything, honestly. I mean, we have already had such an array of eclectic different kinds of artists and genres. You know, we're booked pretty much almost through August, and we're booking September right now.
That's awesome.
You know, it really ranges. We've got hard rock shows coming up. We just did a acoustic singer-songwriter residency that's happening with us. You know, we found new music, Breaking Sound, among other emerging artist platforms, which give us such an array. of different kinds of eclectic artists coming through. We've got dance events starting, all of the different things. So I always say, I don't care what you do, just be really good at it. And like, that's the standard that we want to keep there. You know, it's less about, you know, what it is in as far as the genre goes and what your element is. And it's more about the standard of quality that we want to bring to our venue and have on our stage.
That's amazing. You just gave me chills, dude. I'm in my car outside of a studio and you just gave me chills, dude. You're on the right track. Well, I mean, it's like you come from a place of performing, both you guys, from music and dance. And it's like, you know, it comes down to wanting to create a space for artists and also the consumer. It's like there's nothing worse than you when you actually motivate to go out and you go to said venue and it's just not that kind of experience, because that's why we go out. I don't know if you've ever been to the Mayan, but I actually went to the Mayan last night. Now, I've been an Angelino my whole life. I've lived in LA my whole life. I go to music venues all the time. I'd never been to the Mayan, and I was like, this is such a cool place, and this is what LA needs more of, new venues that kind of give you this, like, where am I kind of experience, because that's what LA is all about. It's been all about it for decades, centuries, and some of the biggest venues started from somebody having a vision of creating what you guys are doing. So, you know, I'm sure it's refreshing for artists to hear you, you know, are booking eclectic sides of music. What does it take? Do artists like send you press kits? Or are they sending you emails? Is it friends of friends? Like, how does it work? Because you know what? I've worked with so many bookers too, and I always wonder, like, what is their, like, you know, how scrupulous are they with who's getting in and how? You know, how does it work? You guys consult?
Yeah, I mean, we do online submissions for sure. You can go on our website at blackroseLA.com. There's an artist submission link there, which we do look through and we pull from as well. We do a lot of word of mouth and management, and now labels coming to us as well. And it's a lot of just kind of reaching out through there. I think if anybody doesn't have the already contact with us, you can always find us on Instagram. You can go to The Black Rose LA. We also have a lot of submissions that way as well. And I've been handling the majority of the booking that happens there. But, you know, it's come from so many different sources. And, you know, it's, again, one more thing that I kind of like, because we are such a for artists by artists type of venue. You know, we don't have some of the marketing pushes and some of the things that a lot of major venues that have that backing have. So one of the cool things about what we've done also is kind of done this whole very ma and pop grassroots word of mouth type of thing, where people kind of talk about it. And then this artist performs, they have such a good experience, and they're like telling the other artists they know, and now they reach out and they're like, oh, I have this person, I have this person, I have this person. And it's just kind of continuously been building in that sense, which has been really, really cool to see the way that our business has spread over LA, which has kind of come from even at a point of a little bit of mystery within it as well.
Well, you know, it's interesting because like some of my favorite venues that I've played are no longer in LA anymore. And it just breaks my heart because this city is all about art. It's like, you know, when I say LA is a tastemaker, I almost think it's more of a tastemaker than New York now, because when it comes to fashion, music, film, TV, dance, it's all here. And it's like all the things that are happening here, you see, start spreading around the world. So it's like it all comes from a place of music venues where it starts, because that's where the culture is, you know? So I love hearing all these things. It's like unbelievable. How big is the stage? Like, did you have to build a stage? Was it already there because it was the Rockwell before? Did you expand the stage? Or was it just like, we're going to keep it as it is because there's good juju here? Like, what were some of the things you did change any parts of it or leave it the same?
We changed it all.
Really? You changed it all?
We took the concrete out, a million years of other floor. I mean, so with our production company, we actually have steel deck staging, which is really nice because we can rearrange it into different formations depending on what the artist asks.
That's awesome.
So we've had runways come out, you know, 16 feet, so we can have a runway little area. We've built it out as big as, you know, 16 deep by 24 wide for like a full-on dance performance with a band on in the back corner. We've had a smaller stage for an acoustic artist. I mean, that's one of one of our selling points actually when we have people walk through is like, well, how big can you get the stage? We're like, well, how big do you want it? And then, or how small can you get the stage? And it's how small can you want it? So it's really versatile there when artists come in and they're like, I have a 30-person band. We're like, great, we'll build the stage bigger. Or
that is crazy. Dude, just that alone is like probably one of the greatest attributes of your club. There aren't many clubs you can do that. That's insane. How did you come up with that concept? That's amazing. I've never even heard of that.
Well, actually, because of the Steel Decks, like Nick was saying, he works a lot with, even in the dance world and a lot of the dance conventions and the different events that happen, that's what most of those places use, because they need to go into a space and create it. So because of the contacts that Nick even had moving into that, we were able to immediately off the bat work with having the idea of having a Steel Deck stage that could be customizable for that. And you're right, it's something that a lot of places don't have. They build it. I mean, the Rockwell had, love the Rockwell. They mean everything to me. It wasn't really a stage. You had like, you know, right, a box and a platform in the corner was, you know, we built like an actual stage in the space. And with the kind of background that Nick has and I have through all the entertainment spaces we use, we saw that that was an option. It was an option that was affordable for us and an option that offered something that most places don't have.
That's amazing. And you know what? That's something that only performers would know to do. That's what's cool. Like, you know your performers, but when you see a stage, you're like, why don't we make it where we can customize it and build it out? Now, like, from its smallest form, let's say the night before you have an acoustic act and the next night you have a 30-piece orchestra or whatever it is. Tell me how long it takes to reconfigure the stage. I'm just curious, as somebody that's been around art and stages my whole life, I'm just curious to know, like, that's got to be an undertaking, or is it?
Well, we just went. People want to help us.
Yeah, I did it last week with one other person. Me and one of our day managers, we did it with just the two of us. We needed to build it from being a kind of a smaller square setup to adding that like 16-foot runway going halfway through the venue, because we do an end of the month Vogue ball with some of the houses from Legendary.
That's awesome.
And we had to do it last minute because we had something the night before. And it was the first time we actually built the runway like that, but I did it with just one other person, and we were able to just go in there, take it up. It's not light, but two people built well enough to do that can go in and make the stage happen like that.
That's crazy.
For easy setup and easy teardown, like Sam said, they're mainly built for, you know, people build them outside for festivals or in hotel ballrooms or things like that. So,
right,
they're quite simple. They're just heavy. Yeah. You know, just, and they have to be so they can support and be safe for, you know, whatever we put right on the stage. So yeah, the more the merrier, but definitely can be done with two people.
That's amazing. What an amazing kind of like concept. I've never even heard of that, honestly. And I think it's amazing to see how you're going to plan every week. Now, don't get lazy and do a small stage one night and just say, let's keep it that way. No, go big. Do those changes, because that's what's going to bring people there. They're going to want that intimate experience, and then they're going to want this big, you know, huge event that's there, and know that your club can accommodate both. What is the capacity of the club?
It kind of depends. We change the capacity, kind of changes whether we have our tables and chairs set up or just our high tops, or, but it varies anywhere from, you know, 130 to 300-400.
Yeah, if we have a seating capacity, you're looking more around that like 130 to 150 capacity comfortably. You clear those out, you do standing. And we did an event a couple weeks ago where we had almost 400 people standing room in there.
You know, there's a venue that it's no longer around anymore. It's called the Temple Bar. And they used to have another venue called the Little Temple. I actually just played. I played at the Temple Bar forever. And, you know, what's so crazy is he used to talk to me about how crazy it was to open a venue. And I was like, what made you do it? And he said, I love it. It's like, what is life without art, music, and all the things that kind of matter in life? You know what I mean? So it's, you guys are definitely doing something that is not for the faint of heart, as you know, for sure, but you're taking it on and you're like, let's run with this. Let me ask you, you know, do you see things, what's the vision of the club from this point? Do you want to add, maybe it's menu items. Maybe it's drink specials. Like, what? How? What's the game plan for the future, or how this evolves as a concept for you guys?
I think there's a few things we both have in mind. We do want to incorporate food sales for a little, depending on the venue. You know, some of our where we sit down and things, we'd like to offer little appetizers and things like that. But I think bigger picture, we want, like, we've already had a couple music videos shot in there. We want to
be more of
a space for literally all artists, whether it's like filming a short film or a music video. Or our venue is so versatile that you can change it pretty much however you want and add to whatever you want. And we really, really, really want to be that home for all artists to either showcase their art or create art. Or, and like Sam said, we're working on phase two of this, is building recording studio in our office upstairs. And
what? It's awesome.
Yes, that would be, that's definitely in the business plan, and Sam would be obviously way ahead of charge of that, but that's definitely what we want to do. And like incorporating those artists, some sort of subscription or membership or things that automatically gave them a platform on downstairs on the stage and things like that. I know Sam has a lot of ideas himself.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely want that next phase of seeing what we are going to create, hopefully in the upper part of the venue, which is having those recording studios, having the multimedia rooms, green screen areas where you can go and shoot the promos or shoot a video or have all that as well. Like we were saying too, with the black aesthetic that the venue has, other than being like a very cool vibe and it being a chic thing that me and Nick both really like a lot, my other favorite part of the whole thing is that it is basically it's a blank canvas. Even though there was a definite style and vibe to what we've created, when you walk in, I don't like going to venues and clubs where the only thing that changes about an event or a night is the title of it or whatever it is. You walk in and it's the same place. I wanted to see a venue that transforms with whoever's coming in to do it, whether it's the artist or the curator or the group that's come into the space. They bring their own footprint into it. We did a album release party with one of my favorite new emerging artists named Clay, who's with 3V Method, a great artist management group who we've been partnering up with a lot. And she wanted to come in because of her EP release, which is Breathing Into Bloom. She wanted to build flowers on the stage, a field. So she basically came in with her team and built an entire fake field of flowers and decked
out
the space. And because of the way that the space is and its black aesthetic, the sky's kind of the limit. There's no clashing things in the room that you won't allow you or fight against you with what you want to bring into the space. So that said, I would love to see more of that. I want to see more people come in, more people bring their ideas and their own art to kind of transform the space that we've created, and adding their own vibe, adding their own art that transforms it in that.
Well, I'll tell you this, I'm looking for a venue and a space to do another music venue at. So I'm going to have to come by and just check it out just for that, because man, this is so appealing on so many levels. But you know what? I love that this club is for artists by artists. I mean, I think, you know, I was just having this conversation in my session. It's like the industry, how it is upside down because the wrong people are running it and are in the power of holding the keys to places like what you guys are doing. And the more music people that get involved with kind of starting these kind of movements or, you know, kind of like culture centers, that's what I like to think of music venues. I mean, it's a huge undertaking. I mean, it's a huge undertaking for you guys. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It's got to be gratifying on some level, you know, for the heart and soul when you see artists doing what they do in a space that you've created and transformed. Tell me what that feeling was like for you when you saw either the first artist perform there, or maybe it was the first performer that you really believed in, or maybe it was the very first night of it. Tell me, what was that moment of bliss that you're like, oh my God, we did it, and this is what's going to keep this fire burning bright?
Yeah, well, for me, it was opening night for sure. I mean, it's been most of the nights we've been open, but opening night was really special because it was the first time we got to see it all, and because of the five performers we had were also like my artists, so it was really, really, really great.
Nicholas is like, yeah.
Get to see them with like in the space and doing kind of why I came on board in the first place. And
right.
Seeing my artist up on our stage, having it fully built and fully realized, and having that come to fruition it was one of those moments where probably one of the proudest moments of my life, not only because me and Nicholas created the space and it's ours and we did it, but then getting to see the artists that I've worked very hard with and wanting to help develop and bring up in this industry, getting to see them just really go off on our stage.
Right.
It was really, truly amazing for sure.
And Nicholas, what about you? What was that moment for you?
Definitely opening night, just because one, we did it in like 2 months or less. Yes.
Wow. 40 days from keys.
Signed the lease.
Seriously?
Yeah, we signed the lease January 20th and we opened March 16th. So there was a lot of work. So,
how did you know you were going to get it done by March 16th? How did you know that was the date of the opening?
So
came down to money.
And unfortunately, with my photography schedule and Black Rose coming about so quickly, I've already been booked out through from last year. So I was like, Sam, I'm available March 16th. So we're doing it March 16th. So then it definitely opening night, because it was literally a show. We had dancers and singers and performances like all night. But then pretty much every time I've been there, there's a moment in the night where I look at Sam and I'm like, we did this. And
yeah, there's
someone on stage living their life. There's people in the crowd cheering. There's people drinking. There's times I've been speechless and Sam's came up from behind and gave me like a hug. He's like, we did this. And then there's other times where I look at him and I'm like, do you see our stage right now? Like, it's crazy. It's like,
yeah.
If I ever open a music venue, I'm going to call you guys first. I'm going to be like, tell me everything I need to know, because I need, you know what? It's good that you had each other in a lot of ways, because doing something like this by yourself, that can't be easy. And Nicholas, real quick, are you putting any of your photography up on the walls?
No, not yet. So we got lucky. My mom's actually an interior designer. So,
oh wow.
Sam and I told her ideas and she was like, okay, this is y'all's place. And she made it look really cool. And we found actually really good art for the walls that goes with the things. I shoot dancers and things like that. I mean, maybe one day if I branch out and photograph other things, that would be cool. But there actually has been photographers that submitted to our website. Like we said, we're really creating a home for all artists. So there will be, you know, photo shows in there and different art shows and things like that.
That's cool.
At this point, there's none of my own art in there other than the black walls that we painted.
And did you guys do any cool drink specials or names in regards to like how you created a vibe for your club? And what are some of those?
Yeah, well, we do have a number of drink specials and specialty cocktails. We have an incredible bar team. Some of them are extremely well experienced and have been around LA for a long time. So we do have a great cocktail menu outside of the great entertainment that we have. The really cute thing that they actually did was name, we have obviously a signature Black Rose drink, which is kind of our version of an upscale margarita, tequila-based, black salt, rose tea. It's really amazing. We also have a drink named after Nick, and then a couple of drinks actually named after songs that I've created with different artists as well.
That's awesome. That's so awesome.
Yeah,
and Nick, do you get behind the bar and start making drinks for people, or is that not going to be happening?
No, when I'm there, I'm enjoying it. I mean, I should maybe probably help out a little bit more, but I'm still just so like, whoa, look what's happening. Plus, I actually don't have any bar experience. So like, I'll go back there and all the bartenders are like, what do you need? What do you need? What do you need? I'm like, I guess I'll just go away again. they're so professional and they're so fast and they know exactly what they're doing. I mean, it's even an art to watch them make the drinks, right, and like interact with the people and do things. I'm like, look, and even that like is like special to me to see that happen. So yeah, when I'm there, I'm really just enjoying myself, because like I said, unfortunately right now I don't get to be there as often as I would like to. So when I'm there, it's really just to see what Sam and I have created and enjoy it and embrace it and take it all in still.
Now, let me ask you like a tricky question. When you go to another venue, when you're out of town or whatever, are you like look at this. They didn't even paint that with double coats of paint. Like, do you find these little details that none of your friends would ever notice that you now notice because you have built this club from the ground on up?
Definitely. And Nick is definitely that one for sure now. Whenever we go anywhere now, that's definitely Nick. I mean, yeah. We definitely know. Once you start to do that kind of thing, I think with with anything in life, you definitely notice all that, all those things. Confidence though in what we've created as well, but Nick's right. Definitely the one that's like, oh my gosh, they didn't even do this, they didn't even have this, they didn't have
this. So Nicholas, you don't have neon sign envy at all?
So now I'm like, now my big thing is to ask what POS system they're using, and like, right. I'm not like, sometimes I'll catch myself or Sam will catch me and I'll just be like staring and the waitress will be like, what is he staring at? But like, I'm actually looking at like the little handheld system they're using, like trying to figure out what they use compared to what we use. And like Sam will step in and be like, what POS system is that? Cause like, I'll just be like,
was eyeballing this waitress's POS the other day, and it was so uncomfortable to the point she was looking uncomfortable, but he was just trying to figure out like what she was using and what was going on, and it looked very awkward, and I kept looking at her like I am, to the point that I was like, we're just wondering what POS do you have here, do you like that? It's so
yeah funny. So now I'm like, every restaurant I go, I'm like, what POS system do you use? And it's like, interesting. They're like, why do you care? I'm like, no.
You're like, no reason. I'm just really into POSs. Yeah. Like, that's my thing. That's funny.
But you're definitely right. You go into a restaurant and you're like, okay. But, you know, you also admire a lot of things that other restaurants do. And you're like, that's really cool. Or like, look what they do on this.
You're like, I'm going to steal that idea. That's really cool.
Yeah. Or, you know, just learn from it. Because I think this has been just a big learning experience as well for Sam and I. So when we do go out to other venues and other things, like, we do have our little side chats of like what we could improve because of what we like that venue does, or what they do that we don't do, or what, you know, could be changed or could be, I don't know. It's been fun. It's been really fun to learn and explore and compare.
So why don't you just list off a couple events that you have coming up that are like notable events that you want to kind of promote to have people come see your venue?
Yeah, well, we do have every Tuesday and Thursday now, we have partnered up with Grant Owens with We Found New Music. So every Tuesday and Thursday, if music discovery is your thing and you want to see a lineup from anywhere from like 3 to 7 acts in the night, come by at 7 p.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You can definitely come and check out some great new artists. We have Breaking Sound starting with us this month on Fridays. Again, great emerging artist platform where you'll discover a lot of new bands, a lot of old and new established acts. We also have a number of different album releases, which you can also find on our website and on our social medias, where you can check those out if there's somebody that you like. We're partnering up with the Dance Guild to do some stuff with the Dance Society. So there'll be a lot more dance things rolling out here soon as well.
Yeah, it's a huge. We just locked down the details to host the fundraiser for the Choreographers Guild in LA, which is huge. And that will have, you know, that'll bring together some of the industry's highest, most known, talented choreographers and dancers and things like that. And they've been looking for a home for their fundraisers and for their guild. And they brought it to Black Rose and we secured that. So that's major for us. And like Sam said, we have been working with a couple dance agents and a couple different choreographers that have came and seen the space, and they have their eyes and their ideas going, and we're open and we're ready.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Where can people find you online and where can people find your venue? Tell us exactly where it is.
You can find our venue at The Black Rose LA on Instagram and social media accounts. You can find me at Sam J. Garfield for my personal stuff.
I'm Nick Field, 815. Our venue is located on the corner of Vermont and Hollywood. It's 1714 North Vermont. And you'll see the beautiful Black Rose sign out there.
Dude, you're right by me. I have to come check that place.
Where have you been? Let's go.
I'll be there. I'll be there. You know what? We're going to have to, I'll add you guys on social media, and then I'm going to make a hang where you both are there and we can kind of hang at your club. Nicholas, when are you back at your club?
I will be back Sunday.
Okay.
I will be in LA until August. So I'm back.
Okay.
The longest time I've been since we've been open. I've been.
Well,
in
this is perfect then. See? Yeah,
so we will plan something. I know we have a lot of good events in June and July planned that we would love to share you. Or even if you wanted to come check us out in closed hours and really see the space and things like that, we're down for both.
Yeah, we got a table with your name on it, Nikki.
That's right. I'm ready. And shout out to Fia Nix,
yes,
for coordinating all this. I know she's performing at your venue too, so maybe I'll make it a kill two birds with one stone. Come see her play at your venue, and we'll make it happen. But you both have to be there, so we're gonna make this happen.
Yeah,
it's documented now, right?
Absolutely.
Well, you guys have been wonderful guests. Thanks for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. Thanks for doing this interview while I'm in a car and losing light. You see this? I'm like, oh. But you know what? This is why this show keeps going. This is why people keep listening. It's because they don't know what to expect. And this is why I love doing this. So keep doing what you guys are doing. I would love to have you guys back on the show when you guys are showcasing the venue in a different way, or a new way, or a reopening, or your anniversary, just because I believe in supporting visionaries and art, and that's what you guys both are. Thank you guys so much, Sam. Yeah. On behalf of myself, Nicholas, Sam, and our other Sam who runs this station, we thank you guys so much, and we'll see you guys next week. Peace and love, everybody.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.